holds our life in the very palm of his hand. Amen. If you just love the Lord tonight, why don't you let him know it with a hand clap of praise tonight? My God is gracious and good. He's great, greatly to be praised. Amen. How many knows that the God of this morning is still the God of tonight? Amen. There were some folks set free this morning. Praise God. The power of God came down in a wonderful way. Amen. It just filled the house. And I thank God for that. But we serve the same God tonight. Amen. He's still just as real as he ever was. If you have your Bibles tonight, go with us to the Psalm of David, Psalms 51. I want to focus our attention tonight on verse 7 through 12. Psalms 51, verses 7 through 12. David writes, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." Can we pray? Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, God, for your power, God, for your grace and for your mercy. For those who've gathered here tonight, Father, I pray, God, that you would just open up the window of heaven. God, pour out that heavenly manna, that anointing upon each and every one under the sound of my voice tonight. Father, that we might take this time to be in one mind and one accord, receptive, submissive, and obedient to your word and to your will. Father, I pray that you would anoint these lips of clay. God, just speak through this vessel tonight, that you would have us to hear. Father, we do remember those who are hurting tonight. So many are sick and afflicted. Father, we pray a special prayer of healing on their account. Touch them and strengthen them and anoint them. Now, God, again, just have your way in this service, and we'll be careful to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise. You may be seated. Tonight I want to bring you some good news. Joy can be restored. Joy can be restored. In my time of ministry, I have heard this phrase spoken more times than not. I want my joy back. I really want my joy back, Pastor. I don't seem to have the joy that I once did. How many remembers the night or the day or the time that Jesus came into your life? Do you remember that day? Songs have been written about it. I can tell you the time. I can show you the place. Amen. I could take you tonight, amen, to a little church in Rockmart, Georgia, and I believe I could pinpoint within a couple of inches the exact spot that I dealt in the altar and received the baptism with the Holy Ghost that wonderful night in Rockmart, Georgia, years and years and years ago. That's just something you don't forget, amen. And the joy I had, I wanted my mom to let me call everybody that I knew. I called uncles and aunts and everybody, sharing the good news. And I couldn't understand sometimes why some folks wasn't as happy as I was about it. But some was. But some just said, "Well, that's good. I'm proud for you." But I said, no, you don't understand. You don't understand what happened to me now. There's been a transformation. There's been a change in my life. And I thank God for that. But over a period of time, some folks, when they begin to experience trials and situations and shortcomings in their life, sometimes they think that their joy is gone, when in fact it is not gone. It is there. Just like it always was. How many knows it needs to be stirred up? Praise God. Stir that up within us. David begins to write here. First of all, he acknowledges that God is the one that can restore the joy. He says, "Wash me thoroughly." First of all, he understands that God is a God of loving kindness and tender mercy. We need to understand that tonight. Amen. So many times we think of God as somebody who's sitting on the throne ready to thump us on the head every time we make a mistake, every time we falter and fall, or every time we mess up. But you know, God is plenteous in forgiveness. Amen. He's long-suffering. Amen. He's not going to condone sin, but he will forgive sin. Amen. If you're thankful for that, give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight. I, for one, am very thankful that he does. But he understands and acknowledges that God is a God of loving kindness and tender mercy. And he also requests something here. In the very first couple of verses there, the first three or four verses, David says, Lord, I request that you blot out my transgressions. I ask that you wash me from iniquity, and I ask you to cleanse me from sin. This is very interesting from a man who was known as a man after God's own heart. David was chosen. He was anointed of God. He was handpicked. God, through Samuel, told him to go and pick one of the sons of Jesse. And you know, remember the story how Jesse looked at all the sons, and in his mind he thought the first three, any one of them, would have been a perfect king for Israel, because he was looking at their physique. He was looking at their outside. But God said, no, I don't choose him. I hadn't chose him. And Samuel said, you got any other children? You got any other sons? Well, there's a little shepherd boy down there, and he's tending the flock. He said, go and get him, because I'm going to anoint him the king of Israel. See, God doesn't look on the outside. He doesn't look at our ability. He looks at our availability. Amen. And he looks at the heart and knows if it's right. And I believe that he saw something in David, amen, that he could use. He saw something in David that David would not use his own strength, but he would depend on the word of God and the power of God, and God can use that if we'll let him do that. But over a period of time, we understand that even David, a man after God's own heart, erred, and he sinned. Now we find that David is coming to the Lord, and the joy that he had has expired, he thinks. He thinks that he can never recover that joy again. I've talked to people and they said, Brother Ed, I just don't think that I can ever be as happy as I once was. And they begin to unload out all the situations that they have gone through. And maybe some of it is sickness. Maybe some of it is affliction. It's even been known to be depression and anxiety, faults and failures and times that along our life that maybe things didn't turn out the way that we wanted to. Amen. And maybe we've had some defeat in our life. But for whatever reason, they seem to think that the joy that they once obtained when they gave their life to Christ, and when they received His Spirit into their spirit, that they can't experience that same joy that they once had. But I'm here tonight to tell you, and I believe that I can back it up by the Word of God, you can still have that joy, that unspeakable joy, that wonderful joy that God fills us with when we come, amen, with a repentant heart and a broken and contrite spirit, and we lay down our transgressions and our iniquities and sin and ask Jesus Christ to cleanse us from within. Now, David uses a very unusual request. He said, purge me. He's talking to God now in his prayer. And he says, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Now, if hyssop alone could cleanse our life, I would lay down this microphone, and I would close my Bible, and I would go to wherever hyssop plants are grown, and I would grab all the hyssop that I possibly could. In this particular time, it grew in a bush, and it was kind of like a little branch, and it was used for the sprinkling, amen, the cleansing. If that alone would cleanse, I would go and get every hyssop bush that I could, and I would walk the streets of Villa Rica, and I would begin to cleanse everybody that I possibly could. But how many knows it is a figure of speech here? It goes back, amen, to the Leviticus law, and we're going to read about that in just a little bit, but hyssop alone won't do it. And I'm telling you that tonight because somewhere along the line, people have intervened with the Word of God, and they have taken things away from the Word of God, and they're trying to tell you that other things will bring you joy. The entertainment world today and their advertisements today, they'll tell you if you'll partake of this or if you'll do that, you'll have joy in your life. You'll be exceedingly glad. But let me tell you, that kind of joy is short-lived. But the joy of the Holy Ghost, the joy of the power of God is everlasting and it's eternal. Amen. And it comes more than just the sprinkling of the hyssop. But David knew the Leviticus law. David knew the Word of God. And he said this at the beginning of his prayer because he understood that there was a purpose for the hyssop. And I want us to go to the book of Leviticus tonight. Into the 14th chapter. This was the instructions for the cleansing of a leper which is significant, a type and shadow of the cleansing of a sin-stained life. Amen. It is so synonymous with how the Lord comes in and cleans our life, a leprous life of sin and iniquity and a disobedience unto God. But here is the instructions from the Lord. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest, and the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed two birds, alive and clean, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. Now this is where it gets very interesting. As for the living bird, everybody say living bird. He shall take it and the cedar wood and the scarlet and the hyssop and shall dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy seven times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field. Now you say, Brother Eddie, we're not living in the time of the Leviticus law. We understand that it is a schoolmaster. And we understand also that Jesus Christ did not come to do away with the law, but he came to fulfill the law. But one thing that is not changed from the Old Testament unto the New, one thing that is not changed from the time of Moses until the time of David, until the time that you and I are living in today, the only thing that's going to give you joy, everlasting joy, is the blood of Jesus Christ, who was that one that was slain. Amen. It is a perfect type and shadow, Brother Jim, of what Jesus Christ did. Amen. Two birds. One life was taken so that the other one could live. I don't know if that touches anybody tonight, but when I begin to read that, cold chills run all up and down me, because that's where my joy comes from. My joy comes from something that happened years ago on an old rugged cross. Amen. When Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, and because of his slain body and because of the blood that dripped down, I have been made free. I have been filled with His Spirit, the Comforter that He sent back. My sins are gone, not because of the hyssop that I sprinkled, but because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Can you say praise God? Hallelujah. So David says, and prays this prayer, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Purging process is not a good feeling, okay? Let's just be honest. Purging is the cleansing process. Purging is taking out all of the parts that are defiled, all of the parts that are dirty, all of the parts that have become unclean. And David realized that if you want your joy back, you have to realize that if there's anything in your life that is displeasing unto God, if there's anything, amen, that is against God, that is against the Word of God, something that has creeped into your life, something that Satan has allured you with, you must understand that we must confess that to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you really want your joy back, if you really want the joy of that salvation, if you can be as David, who was known as a man after God's own heart, he walked upright, he obeyed God. But even David, as being a man after God's own heart, fell by the wayside and realized that there was something in his life that was blocking his joy. And so many times it's so difficult for us to say, Lord, purge me. Purge me. Get out anything, God, that is against you. Any sin, any iniquity, any disobedience, Father, purge it and get it out of my life so that I can have my joy back. He says also, make me hear joy and gladness. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. David was a shepherd, was he not? David had some abilities And David has some qualities that God saw in him. I've never been a shepherd, but I've read about shepherding. And I've read about the responsibility that lies on the shoulder of a shepherd. We know from stories in the Bible that David protected his sheep. When a bear came out, he was able to kill the bear. When a lion came out, he was able to slay the lion. He was able to lead his sheep beside still waters. He was able to take his sheep into green pastures. Amen. And he understood that the sheep that would not follow him, the sheep that would run off, the sheep that would put his life in jeopardy, the sheep that sometimes might get too close to a place to fall off or be hurt, or be out on the outside where a wolf or something could get him. And for time and time again, they would urge the sheep to come back to the fold. But David realized that every once in a while, when that sheep became disobedient, and for fear of losing that sheep, many times a good shepherd would break the leg of a sheep so that they would wander off. Amen. And he did not do it because he hated the sheep. He did it because he loved the sheep. I don't know if you understand that sometimes the bones that have been broken in our life, they may not be actual bones. They may be spiritual bones in our life. And we think it's the vengeance of God. And we think it's the wrath of God. But it's nothing more than the love of an almighty God said, you don't need to go there. You don't need to be a part of that. Come back into the fold. And if it takes the bruising and the breaking of the bones, it is because we have a father and a shepherd who loves us. David realized that. David was not in the position of being the shepherd now. He was the sheep that had gone astray. He was the one that the nature of sin had allured him away. The lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh had overtaken him. And now he doesn't have the joy that he once does. He doesn't have that sustaining ability of the power of God when he lays his head on the pillow at night. And he doesn't go to sleep in joy and satisfaction that his soul is right with God. But he goes to sleep, amen, with this burden of sin in his life. And yet people today wonder why they don't have the joy that they once had. David goes on to pray. He said, not only make me hear joy and gladness. He understands how that's going to happen. By the breaking of my bones. Heal my bones that were broken. And then he says, hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Now understand, David is not asking God to hide his eyes as though it had never happened. He is confessing that it has sin in his life. He's confessing that he needs God to hide his face. And to hide his face is to forgive him. Amen. And to purge him of that thing that is within him. That sin, that iniquity that rises in his spirit. And he said, blot it out. So many people today have great difficulty with things in their life because as God has blotted them out through the blood of Jesus Christ, many of us still retain that memory. Many, many people today will not step up and be part of a ministry in the church, not because they're not saved, not because they're not filled with the Spirit of God, but because they have an everlasting memory of how it used to be. Brother Keith, thank God for your testimony. I know, amen, and I appreciate him. He is not ashamed to stand and tell you, I was not following God. I was doing something that I didn't need to be. And I tell you what, even though the world may say this is the joyous and best time that you have, I believe Brother Keith would share, he didn't really know joy until he put that lifestyle behind him and under the blood of Jesus Christ. And then he said, oh, now I've got joy. I only thought I had joy, but now I have joy, wonderful joy. David realized, I need that joy back. I need that to fulfill my life. I need that to carry out my responsibility. I need that to be the person that God wants me to be. Now, I know that was in the Old Testament time, but folks, it still happens today. Many people cannot forgive themselves. It's not because God won't forgive them. It's because they won't forgive themselves. And because they have fallen by the wayside, because they have erred, They think they're giving up on church and they're giving up on God. Let me tell you, folks, you'll never have peace and satisfaction. If you've known God and you've tasted God and you know that He's good, there's nothing else in this world that can give you peace and contentment like a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Get back to where you need to be with God. Put Him first in your life. God doesn't say not do everything else. He says just simply put me first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Then all these other things, amen, He'll put them into the right order. Do we really want our joy back? Sounds like to me that David desired to have his joy back. I don't believe that he just up and decided one day, I just need my joy back. I think he had wrestled with it. Amen. I can almost feel that. I can almost discern that in the scripture here as he begins to write and he begins to acknowledge, you know, one of the greatest things, one of the first and foremost things to do to get the joy back is to confess that you failed. Confess that maybe sin has been in your life. Maybe the sin of disobedience. I didn't say you'd backslidden and lost out with God. There's many of us have faltered and fell, amen, because we can't walk without God, amen. If we try it, we'll end up, amen, face down. It's just like the prodigal son, amen, and we'll realize I just need to get back to the Father's house, amen. I don't care in what capacity. I don't care if I sing. I don't care if I preach. I don't care if I testify. I'll go back as a servant, but I want my joy back, and I know I can't get it outside. Amen, of the power of God and outside of a relationship with the Lord. David said, make me hear joy and gladness by healing my broken bones or my brokenness. Amen. Let me tell you, the bones of a skeletal system are amazing. How many knows that little Kevin spent a good deal of his early childhood in and out of hospitals? My son. With his condition of cerebral palsy, it was explained to us that his bones were very brittle. Not only does cerebral palsy deter the muscle growth and the muscle agility, but it also affects the growth of the bones and the toughness of the bones. It was explained to us that children with cerebral palsy, their bones have not matured or not grown at the point where they can be really, really as hard as an adult, but so many times it's almost like a pipe that's hollow. And I'm not talking about a broken bone where you might fall on your arm and break something, but I'm talking about just bumping up against the side of a bed or bumping up against the side of a wheelchair can cause a little dent to go into that bone and be broken. Kevin experienced at least twice, and Sister Penny, she may have to correct me, it might have been a third time, but I know of at least twice that Kevin experienced a broken bone. The first time he was in Eggleston Hospital, and he was going through other tests and results, and we did not know, and neither did the nursing staff know, that his bones were broken, or the bone was broken. They had done it accidentally when they were turning him to change his bed, and it seemed like every time they touched him in a certain position on his leg, he would scream out in pain. We knew and understood that something's wrong. Penny noticed it quickly because being the mother, she knew anything out of the norm that something was bothering Kevin. Come to find out, they x-rayed it. It was a broken bone. But since it had been a space of a couple of days, the doctor began to tell us that bone had already begun to heal itself. So what they had to do to make it right, and this sounds really gross, but they had to go in and re-break the bone to make it right again. Brother Eddie, what did you say all of that for? Because broken bones can be healed, amen? But if they're healed outside of the power of God, they're going to grow back crooked, amen? They're going to grow back and they're not going to be as strong as they was. But the doctor told us, with children, when those bones begin to heal, they heal back stronger than they ever was. Let me tell you something. The master's hand, the doctor's hand was able to perform that. But I'm telling you one tonight that I'm pointing to the master's hand who's able to reach in with broken bones, broken heartaches, broken heart, all of these disappointments in our life. And I told you that we've got them. If you're living in this earth, you're going to have setbacks and you're going to have disappointments. Let me tell you, everything's not going to go your way. You're going to be hurt in life. You're going to have your bones broken. Maybe not by God, but maybe by a
friend, maybe by a relative, but I'm telling you tonight, one touch of the Master's strong hand can heal that broken bone. It can heal that brokenness. And when that brokenness is healed, you get your joy back. Praise God. Because my joy is not affected by circumstance. My joy is affected by my relationship with Jesus Christ. Can you say amen, somebody? Hallelujah. Glory to God. David's prayer goes on. He says, not only make me hear joy and gladness by healing my brokenness, but remember no more. Now, he's already asked God to purge him. And he's already said, Lord, make me to hear gladness and joy. But he says, remember no more my sins and iniquities. God, I just need you not only to forgive me, but I need you to put them in a no more of remembrance. I need you to wash them away as though they'd never happened. Now, here's the big thing. God will do that. God will do that. Somebody told me that one time when we're coming before God and God's already forgiven us and we're still asking Him to forgive us of something that we've already got forgiveness for, God doesn't even know what we're talking about. That's how He forgets. Not only does He forgive, He forgets. But you know where the problem is? It's with us. We declare ourselves as unworthy. We declare ourselves as not fit for the service of God because of something we once did. But let me tell you, David knew, amen, God, you can remember it no more. I've got faith in believing. God, yes, I have sinned. Yes, I have come short. But God, I'm counting on your mercy. I'm counting on your grace. And I ask you, Lord, from the depths of my heart to remember my sin and remember my iniquities no more. And when God forgives them, amen, and God forgives us, it'll restore joy back into our life. Praise God. Joy that once overflowed. Joy that once was abundant. You can have that joy again. David is a man who understood what repentance was all about. Then he says, you know, and here's the thing. It's one thing to get forgiveness from sin. It's wonderful that God is plenteous in redemption. It's wonderful that Jesus' grace and mercy is sufficient. But it's another thing to keep going back to the same pool, to the same pigsty that we once was removed from. Amen? We don't need to go back. We don't need to keep doing that over and over and over and over and over again, stepping all over the grace of God. Amen. David goes on to say, after he asked God to remember my sins no more, he said, create in me. A clean heart and a right spirit. Amen. It's very difficult to express joy if you don't have a clean heart and a right spirit. Amen. So many times we try to masquerade. We try to paint that smile upon our face. We try to attend service. We try to lift our hands. We try to glorify God as we sing the songs of praise and worship. But let me tell you something. If your spirit, amen, is still under bondage, it is very, very difficult to have that true joy in your life. But don't lose hope. Don't think it's a situation that is impossible, because your joy can be restored. Amen. Just as live, just as real, just as well as it ever was. Create in me a clean heart and a right spirit. Then David says, cast me not away and preserve thy spirit within me. Preserve thy spirit within me. Let me tell you something. Family may cast you aside. Friends may have nothing else to do with you. But I know a Savior who will not cast you aside. He will not cast you away. If we come, amen, with a broken and contrite spirit, with a repentant heart, amen, and ask forgiveness, God will restore that joy into our life. And finally, he says, restore my joy. Restore my joy. He's not saying, give me joy. He's saying, restore the joy that I already have. Amen. We can restore that joy. This particular message I used recently in a funeral service. I want to share this story with you because it had an impact on me and it had an impact, I believe, on the family
of the man that I preached this sermon over. This man was a longtime friend. He was a mentor. He was a trainer. He was the person that hired me into the bread business in 1982. Hardworking, salt of the earth, just an all-around good guy. Times that we spent together over the years, every once in a while, the subject of religion, or what I call salvation, would arise. And we would talk a little bit about it, but he would kind of pass it off. Now, this guy would give you the last dollar that he had. He would do any and everything he could if he thought you needed help. But 3 years ago, in this very month, he lost his wife of 48 years, I believe. And it did something to him, as it would anyone. And he asked me, would I do her service? And certainly, I said, I'm honored to do it. I'll be glad to. So I spoke at her service. About a week, maybe 10 days after that, he began to contact me. Even though we worked together, I had still not retired at this particular time. And he said, he called me Eddie B. I mentioned this other day. He called me Eddie B. And I said, I don't know where he got that because there's not a B in my name anywhere. But that was his nickname for me. Eddie B, can we talk? And I said, sure, we can talk. Anytime you want to come by here, well, I can't right now. And that happened 3 or 4 times. We just could not work the schedule out so that we could talk face to face. He said, what I got to talk about, I can't talk about over the phone. I need to talk to you. So time went on several days later, and it so happened that he called me one evening, and I just happened to be up here at the church, and I was doing something around in the pastor study, and I said, yeah, we can talk right now. I said, where are you? And he said, well, I'm right here in Villarica. I said, why don't you come by the church, and we'll just talk here. And so he said, okay, I'll be there in about 15 minutes. So he comes, and he walks into my office, and, you know, we exchange a few pleasantries. How are you doing? How's things going? You know, this, that, and the other, just kind of trying to feel him out a little bit. And I knew his heart was broken. I knew his life was shattered, losing his soulmate and losing his wife of so many years. And you could see the sadness in his eyes and on his countenance. And we talked, I guess, for about a half an hour. We talked a little work, a little shop, a little this, a little that. I tried to encourage him a little bit, trying to find out exactly what was on his heart. And you know, sometimes it's really hard for somebody to open up when there's no joy there, when the joy is gone from their life, and you can see it in their face, you can see it in their eyes. There's pain, there's misery. And finally, he just kind of stops and he looks at me, and tears begin to roll down his cheek. Now, this is a man that I worked with, and this is a man that I had never in my life. I shook his hand, but I'd never hugged him. You know, just didn't come up. You know, you know how men are, you know. I'm thankful that I got over that. Amen. I'm thankful that I can hug brothers in Christ. Amen. And I think that's a wonderful show of emotion. But in the workplace, it just never happened. But tears began to roll down his face, and he looked at me. And with all sincerities, and it just tore my heart and my spirit up, he said, Eddie, I don't know if I'm saved or not. And I called his name, and I said, listen, you do not have to leave this building with that uncertainty. I said, you don't have to kneel in the altar. You don't even have to kneel in the church house. Amen. But wherever you kneel, amen, you can find God if you're willing. If you're willing to ask for forgiveness, if you're willing to repent. And we opened the Bible and we began to read the scripture, and I began to tell him that no matter what you've done in your life, I know a Savior who can forgive you, but you got to understand that you got to confess to him, not to me. You don't have to tell me anything, but if you'll confess to him, if you'll ask Jesus Christ to come into your life, he will come into your life. He will fill you with his Spirit. Amen. We had church right back there in my pastor's study. Glory to
God. The Spirit of God came down. He began to cry. He jumped up. He grabbed me. He hugged my neck. Amen. I hugged him right back. We both began to cry. Amen. And just praise the Lord. And he walked out and he come right back and he hugged me again and said, "Thank you so much, Brother Eddie." I said, "It wasn't me. Don't you understand? It's not about me. It's about Jesus." Amen. And Jesus, amen, can give you that joy. Well, time went on and he began to witness to other folks and tell folks, and I had to correct him because he was going around telling folks that Eddie saved him. And I said, "No, Steve, you don't understand. It wasn't me, brother." Amen. "I just happened to be a mouthpiece. The one that saved you died on the cross of Calvary. The one that saved you shed his precious blood. Oh, if I could save you, I'd have done it a long time ago. But it's Jesus, amen, that saved you." Hallelujah. Week before last, his daughter called me and she said, "Eddie, I don't know if you've heard, but Daddy passed away." And I said, "Yeah, baby, I did. Another friend that was in the business called me and asked me, did I know it?" And I said, "No, I did not. I knew that he wasn't in the best of health, but the last time I saw him, this happened to be at another funeral, that another bread man had passed away, and he seemed pretty good. He seemed like he was getting over kind of the loss of his wife and seemed like he was doing pretty good and enjoying his retirement. He had retired. But I didn't know that he had died in the hospital." And she did say, "Well, you going to do his funeral, right?" And I said, "I would be honored to." And I spoke this last week at his funeral, and I was so thankful. Amen. Because prior to that meeting in that study, I would have just had to read some scripture. I would have just had to try to comfort the family. But I was so glad to give that account that my longtime friend, who we never hardly ever talked about salvation, came to me and he asked Jesus Christ to come into his life as Lord and Savior. Amen. And I was thankful for that. Amen. And there was such a sweet spirit there. Because my friend got his joy back before he went home to be with the Lord. Now, I don't encourage you to wait until that time when seemingly life is about to be over for you. Even though, because of the grace of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, his reward is just as great as somebody who had been saved for years and years and years. Because that's how the grace of God works. He gave the parable of the worker who came in at the 11th hour and received the same recompense that the one who is out there all day long. But I don't recommend that. The reason I don't recommend that is because life is short. Life is a vapor. It's here today. It's gone tomorrow. We don't have the promise of tomorrow. So today is the day of salvation. Now is the time to get those things out of your life. Just as David realized, "I'm just kind of going through the motions. I don't really have the joy that I once had, but I know I can get the joy back. But it's going to take my part, amen, coming to God. It's going to take my part confessing to Him." And I'm telling you tonight, maybe you've been saved for years. Maybe you've been filled with the Holy Ghost for years. Maybe you've been living for the Lord a long, long time. But there's something that is just absolutely taking your joy away from you. Whether it's in your memory banks, whether it's some hurt. You know, as I said this before, it's not always that we've hurt somebody. So many times it's because somebody else has hurt us. And that hurt has grown in our life. And it's festered. And it's become an obstacle. And it keeps us from getting our joy. Maybe what we need to do is forgive that person who hurt us. Amen. Again, the hurt is not always on our part. It may be because we've been hurt, and that's what's taking your joy and stealing your joy. But David said, "Create within me a clean heart and a right spirit." Amen. If you want your joy, you need the right spirit. And the right spirit only comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ. God bless you. I love you. I want to see each and every one of you in heaven. Glory to God. I don't want a single person to be lost. But I don't want you going through a life of not having your joy, not having the fulfillment
of a clean heart that's been purged by the Spirit of God. Would you stand? Please, every eye closed. Every saint of God praying. Please don't be looking around. Tonight is the night that you need to get that under the blood of Christ. Tonight is the night. Amen. If you have anything that's a hindrance, and please don't let the devil tell you, oh, if I go up there, they're going to think I'm a big sinner. Listen, you got to get to a point that you don't care what folks say. You just want your joy back. Amen. You just want to be right with God. Amen. You don't want to go on the way that you're going. So please, nobody looking around. Every head bowed, every saint of God praying. Is there one tonight? This altar is open. This is a time for you. I will assure you that we'll pray with you. There'll be elders come around and we'll anoint you and pray. Is there one tonight? Whatever the situation, whatever the reason, come at this time and we'll pray. Hallelujah. Some of you elders, if you would gather around, let's pray tonight. And if anyone else feels that need to come down, please come down tonight.